You know, we live in a world that sometimes is a very hard place. It's very difficult to live in this world. We see all the things of sin about us, all the things that we've got to deal with in this life, all the things we've got to try to overcome. Sometimes we can become discouraged. I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged because we have one that can help us to overcome sin. In fact, He beat sin, and He will continue to rule over sin. But what I want us to do today is to study a little bit about sin, because I don't know if we talk about it as much as we need to without the idea of just condemning everybody. I hope you see in the illustration we've given up here how that here's people, here's the gulf of sin, and over there's God. Now, how do we get over there to God? Why did God allow sin? God allowed sin so that we could see how bad we really need Him. He wants us to understand that He wants to save us and care for us. But I don't think we realize sometimes how bad sin really is. Not just that it's a gulf between us and God, but it can keep us away from God. And we don't want that to happen. We want to be near God. Have you ever thought, is there any sin that you could think of that God would not forgive? Any sin that maybe is in your life that God would say, wait a minute, you're asking too much for me to forgive that sin. Is there any sin that we recognize in our own lives that we can't forgive ourselves for? That happens too. But what we've got to do is to realize that God can forgive all sins and does forgive all sins. He's willing to do that. He wants to do that, and He wants to help us. But we have to realize how bad sin really is. And I don't think sometimes we realize how bad sin really is. Now, what was read in your hearing a while ago in 2 Samuel was that of the prophet Nathan going before David and giving him an illustration so David would see his sin. And we know what the sin was that David committed with Bathsheba. He was supposed to be at war with his people, but he had decided to stay home. And so here he was on the rooftop of his house. He sees this woman over here taking a bath, and he likes her. And so he invites her over to see him. And before long, they're having sex, however you want to do that, had an affair, whatever term you want to use, and she's pregnant. What are you going to do about it now? Well, he does like most of us. He tries to hide his sin. He tries to keep it from other people. Let me tell you something. I don't care what you do. One, God knows about it. And two, most of the time, other people know about it. We don't realize that. We think that, well, nobody else knows about this. Sometimes people are just, they just don't want to talk about it. But they already know about that sin. But even if nobody else knows about it, God knows about it. But look at David here, how he tried to hide his sin, how he tried to keep it from everybody. Look at the extent that he went to in trying to cover up his sin. He was going to such an extent that he was willing to murder somebody. He calls Uriah, tell the soldiers, the footmen that go over there for the different reports that he's going to be getting back. He says, tell Uriah to come back. Now, he had figured this plan out. What I'm going to do is have Uriah to come back. The first thing he's going to want to do when I give him a chance is to go home and be with his wife. And then I can say, that's his son, not mine. That's his child, not mine. And so he calls Uriah. Uriah comes. And he gives the report about the war and what's going on. And he says, Uriah, just go on home. You can go on home today and be with your family, be with your wife. Well, he goes, but he doesn't go into his wife. They do not have any kind of relations. They are there. There's no way. David finds out about that. He's not going anywhere near his wife. And so here he throws a party, invites Uriah to come and says, now, Uriah, go. Probably thinking, if I get him drunk enough, he'll go home. But he doesn't. He won't do it. Finally, it gets down to the point where he's got to do something because this thing is going to find out. Now, could you imagine all the things that David was going through, all of the fear, all of the dread, knowing that what he was doing was wrong, but going ahead and doing it anyhow? Have you done that before? Knowing that the sin you're committing is wrong, but you go ahead and do it anyhow? Now, let me tell you something. That's just blatant sin. That'll kill not only the spirit and the soul, but it'll kill our desire to follow God's will. And no amount of worship is going to take that away. No amount of just saying, you know, I know I shouldn't be doing that. The only thing that will take that away is going to God and asking God for forgiveness and changing your life. Because you see, what you're doing before is you're keeping that sin inside, you think. But the sin is out before God. So he sends a message back with Uriah. He says, when you go back, Uriah, give this to the generals. Now, this is not for you to... I can see David as he puts his stamp of approval on that, his seal on that, and tells him, you can't back to the general. Carries it back to the general. That message says, in a very simple way, you put Uriah in front of the battle and then let everybody pull back and leave him there to fight it out by himself. He's going to die. And David knows he's going to die. Well, now, what he can do now is say, well, Uriah did go into his wife. And so this is his baby, not mine. A way to cover up sin. We are so skillful in trying to cover up sin that we'll go to no extent to try to do that. When it seems like it would be simpler just to say, I have sinned before God, and change our lives and live a different way. Make it right, and then we don't have to feel that dread. You know what that dread is, don't you? When you think somebody might know that you've committed this sin, and you feel that thing in your throat and in your stomach that just bothers you, that troubles you. They say that we have all these nerve endings that come together right here. That's the reason that in fear or in dread, you feel that thing right there. That's the reason sometimes people go, this is your heart. Because there's where you feel that pain. There's where you feel that trouble. What we've got to do is to realize, we've got to understand what sin is. And understand what sin is in such a way that we can overcome sin. That we can defeat sin in our life. And we need to do that. Now, did I do this or did... Okay, let me see here. Yeah, that's the one I want. We need to understand that sin can be overcome. But we need to understand about sin. So what I want us to do for just a short time here is to look at sin and see about this thing of sin in such a way that it will help us to be able to overcome that. First of all, we've got to realize that sin can never be hidden. There's no way to do that. God knows everything. God remembers everything. He knows what's going to happen in the future. He knows what's going to happen in the past. Now, please don't think that He determines that. He just knows it. You know, He knows what's going on, and we've got to realize, we've got to be careful. But what we need to do is to remember Numbers 32 and 23, where it says there, be sure your sins will find you out. Now, you can get by for a long time with sin, but I want you to know your sins are going to find you out. Other people are going to find out about it. How's it going to be in 10 years if people find out about it? How's it going to be in 2 weeks if people find out about it? We've got to realize, we've got to be able to overcome that. You know, when I think about this, I think about some of these old movies that they had where the prisoners have escaped from jail. And they have the bloodhounds there, and those bloodhounds are right on their trail, and those prisoners are going out through the bushes and the marshes and all that. They're trying to escape. They're trying to get away from all this. But here these old hounds come, and you can hear them just, ooh, getting a little louder, a little louder, a little louder, because they're on your trail. That's us in sin. But let me tell you something. That's us in also heaven. Because you see, God is trying to get us to change. God is trying to get us to see what this is. He wants us to return to Him, come back to Him, and have freedom. He wants us to be free so that we can be free and we don't have to worry about these sins that we've committed. We don't have to worry about the lies and the stories we tell to be able to keep other people from knowing about our sins. But we've got those things straightened out and we've accomplished that. And so now we're right before God. We're right before man as much as possible, and we're not going to let those sins trouble us anymore. Why can't we do that? It's just that we don't want to admit that we're wrong. Please understand, none of your sins are hidden. They're open before God. But not only that, listen to this. Sin is not victimless. Sometimes I heard people years ago, they were in Atlanta, they were trying to pass this law. I think they were trying to pass a law where prostitution was not illegal in Atlanta. Now, they might not say that, but it looked like that was what they were trying to do. They said, it's a victimless crime. There is no victimless crime. there is a victim. There is no victimless sin. There is sin, and there are people that are going to have to pay for it. Now, David had to pay for it because of how he felt, the dread he felt. Not only David, but Bathsheba had to think about it too, because here she was having a baby out of wedlock. I think that would kind of terrify a person. I think that would trouble a person. But not only that, you have Uriah. I think he was a victim too. He got killed in this thing. He was hurt in this. But not only was he hurt, you just think about it. When that general got that message from the king, and the king said, put him in the front and you let him die there. Put him out there in the front and let him die. What are you going to do now? The king said, you need to kill that person. That's basically what it was. You need to kill him. No, can't do that. But this man did. There's another victim. You think about the other victims too. Here's soldiers that lost their lives and getting him out there and letting him die and getting back. What about their families? What about those children of those men that their children died? Their father died. And here they are at that time, maybe without even an income at all. What's going to happen to them? Victimless? Let me tell you something. There are more victims than we can think about in sin. David even understood this, and they understood this about David because they said about David, the prophet told him, the sword is not going to leave your house. You're going to face this. Why? Because of the sin you committed. Well, I've got it right with the Lord. Let me tell you something. Understand, you can get things right with the Lord, but there's still a price to be paid for us in this life. God will forgive us of our sins. He will wash and cleanse us of our sins. But please understand, that does not mean that other people are not going to forget about it. I don't know why it is, but you can mention about a certain fellow sometime in a place, and some old man, I don't know why old men like to do this. We like to, I can remember when they did this, and I can remember when they did that. Well, okay, let me tell you something. It's remembered. We need to understand, we need to recognize about sin, that sin is something that we have got to turn from, we've got to repent of, and God will forgive us. But listen, it sometimes, we continue to be a victim of that, and we continue to have to live that down. Now, I don't say that to keep you from doing it. I say that you do it because it's right and good. It helps people to see somebody that is willing to repent of sins no matter what they've got to pay. And sometimes people, when they repent of sins in this world, they have a lot to pay. People may laugh at you. They may be funny. Sin is never something that is insignificant. I don't know where we got the idea of big and little sins. You know, I can tell you, well, I'm sick today. You call me and you're my boss. I'm sick today. That's wrong. That's a lie. Or for you to say, I didn't steal that $1 million when you got it sticking out of your pockets. We said, now one, it's okay to do that. It's all right to do that. In fact, we'll even involve our children and our wife in that when it's wrong and it should not be. We'll involve all those people in that when we shouldn't be willing to do that. There is no big and little sin. There is just sin. And we have to understand that. Now listen, I thought about this. I got a bottle of water up here. It says that this stuff is supposed to be pure. I hope it is. I don't know. They may run it out of the tap. You heard about that company. They found that what they were doing was just running tap water into these bottles and selling them for a dollar. One fellow said, you see how silly we are? We've got to buy our water in bottles anymore. We can't even take it out of fountains anymore. We've got to have this. But now, this is 100% pure, or supposed to be. What if I told you this thing was 50% contaminated with some kind of botulism or something else? Would you drink it? Well, what if I said it's really just 25% contaminated? Would you drink it? What if I said it's just 5% contaminated? Would you drink it? You say, if it's contaminated, I'm not going to touch it. Percentage makes no difference. It's contaminated. And we have to realize that. We got to realize that sin contaminates. It's not a matter of this little sin or this other thing. It's a matter of sin. It contaminates us. It contaminates those people around us. And so here, there are no insignificant sins, no big sins, no little sins. There's just sin. You say, boy, you're making it so hard on us. No, I'm making it where you'll have to reach out to the Lord all the time. Where you go to the Lord every day and say, God, forgive me of my sins. You'll say, God, help me to overcome those sins. Help me to defeat those sins. Help me to be a person that those sins are not with me any longer. They're not going to bother me anymore. That it's not going to be a part of my life. It's not insignificant. It is certainly something that troubles me and troubles other people. So there are no these little insignificant sins. There's just sin. And we need to be willing to turn from it. Now, listen to this. Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28. Jesus said, you've heard from old, do not commit adultery. But he gave them something that was a little bit different. He said, what I want you to know, and I want you to understand, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Now, a few years ago, some fellow was saying, some ladies were saying, I know my husband's looked at these women to lust after them, so I can get a divorce. That's not even what it's talking about. It's saying go to the seat of sin where sin is. Sin starts in the heart. It starts in the mind. It's got to change there. There's where it's got to change. And if we don't change there, then it's not going to change. He's saying you get your heart right. You get that part of you inside. He wants us to understand that even the thought of sin is that which contaminates. Because sin always starts as a thought in our mind. It's not of a mind. It's not. I didn't realize what I was doing. You knew what you were doing. And most of the time we know it's wrong. Now there may be times that we might not know that something's wrong, but generally we know what's wrong. And we know that we shouldn't participate in it. And Jesus said, it's a little thing of just thinking about it. I don't have to do it, I just think about it. That's wrong. And we need to stay away from that. And we need to remember that. We need to be the people that understand that God forgives sin, but God does not forget about our sin. Now, this may sound strange to you, and if you disagree with me, that's all right. That's okay. I think God remembers every sin we've ever committed. But now, He doesn't hold it against us if we repented and turned from it. God doesn't forget that. Can you forget some of the sins that you committed in your life? Hey, I can tell you some when I was a teenager. That's been a while back. I know what those things were. And they're still there. Has God forgiven those things? Yes. Do I have to worry about facing those things on the day of judgment? Not at all. But I think, how foolish was I to commit that sin? But God takes those things and He cleanses them. Listen to Psalms 103 and verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, how far He has removed our sins. Our sins are not on us anymore. They're forgiven, but they're not forgotten. And we need to realize that. To say that God forgets our sins, I think is to say something that's wrong. Because He doesn't forget our sins. Does He forgive us our sins? Yes, He does. But forgetting? God doesn't forget anything. God remembers everything. You say, oh, that's awful, that's terrible. No, God remembers them as those things that we've been forgiven from. We won't have to give an account for them, but they're still there. And you see, that's the reason we need to stay as far away from sin as possible. We need to not let sin come in and be a part of our lives. We don't need to do that. Listen to this basic Bible, basic English Bible, and the translation it has in this. In Hebrews 8 and verse 12, listen to what, I will have mercy on their evil doings, and I will keep their sins in mind. I'll not keep their sins in mind as far as people having to give an account for those things. If you've repented of sins, those sins are forgiven by God. But those sins are still there. You know them, and God knows them. Learn to forgive yourself. Learn to realize when God says, I'll forgive you, that you are forgiven of your sins. And if it comes up in your mind and you remember that, I've seen people that they're remembering sins they committed 30 years ago. They've repented probably 10 or 15 times and confessed these things as wrong, and they know they're not right. They know that these are sins that they've committed. They know that they've asked God to forgive them. Please understand, when we're willing to repent, when we're willing to turn, God forgives them. But understand, God doesn't forget that. He didn't hold it against us. I hope you understand the difference there. I want us to realize that, hopefully with the idea that we'll stay away from sin. We'll not let sin be a part of our lives. We won't let it come in and trouble us and bother us. Sin is never beyond God's forgiveness. I mentioned a while ago in the introduction, is there any sin that God could not forgive? Is there any sin that God would say, I can't do that? Let me tell you something. There is not a sin that God cannot forgive that's repented of. Now, if we don't repent of it, God cannot forgive that because we're holding that still with us. What we've got to do is to give that to God and realize that God is one that's going to blot that out and remember it against us no more. And those sins are going to be forgiven. We have sinned. We are separated from God. But what we can do is be drawn back to God. We can be united with God because God will forgive us. There's not a sin today. And see, this is the strangest thing. Why would we go out of this building today with sin on us knowing that God will forgive it? That God will put this away from us to where us and that sin, we're not together anymore. We've recognized that we need to change and we're willing to change and we're going to change ourselves. God's willing to do that for us. I want us to see sin a little bit more and understand it. Sometimes we as preachers talk about how bad it is, how terrible it is, and it is. But we need to understand it in our minds too. That God is, we can't hide our sins from God. That we're going to have to acknowledge those sins before God. Either publicly, privately, whatever we've got to do, make it right. Now, if you've sinned publicly and the world knows about it, confess that thing to the world. If you've sinned privately, then you confess that to the people involved in that. It might be that you might have to tell people at work, I've sinned, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. It might be that you need to go home today and tell it to your wife or your husband, your children, or your parents that you've sinned. Make those things right before God. Don't walk around with those things in you that trouble you and bother you. I've seen people over the years that said, you know, it's when I get better at this, I'm gonna come to Christ. I'm gonna come and I'll be down there all the time. They keep intending to, but they never do. They keep intending to repent and turn. They feel like that they're not worthy. Let me tell you something. None of us are worthy to be forgiven. But God does it anyhow because of His love for us, because He cares for us, because He's trying to do the best for us. It makes no difference what sin it is. God will forgive it if we will repent of it. Some people say, oh, Charles, you know that sin, that unpardonable sin, how terrible that is. You know what that is? That's a sin we won't repent of. That's a sin we won't turn from. That's a sin that we say, wait a minute, it's just too great. I can't do that. God will forgive us. Now, listen to Psalms 51, verses 1 and 2. And some people think that this Psalm 51, was written while after David had confessed his sins, after he had got his life straightened out, after he had dealt with those things, that he's willing. And read this psalm. In fact, I thought about preaching about Psalm 51, and you may get that a little bit later. Listen to what he says in verses 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Here's God. He's kind. He's merciful. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David in Psalm 51 basically says, God, I need you. And God says, I'm there. And David said, I appreciate it because I am now clean. I don't have to worry about those sins any longer. I don't have to feel the dread. I don't have to, when we get up on Sunday morning and maybe Mark preaches or I preach or Bible class and we mention a certain sin and it's one that you're involved in, it's one that you're doing, and you go, oh, wow, and you feel that kind of a catch right here. the dread? Why don't you confess that? Why don't you repent of it? Why don't you turn to God and He'll forgive you? I guarantee you will. And we won't have to deal with that sin any longer because God has cleansed us. That's the reason that God sent His Son to this earth. So that we could be forgiven. So we wouldn't have to feel that dread, that terror, that heartache, that pain. David said, because of my sins, my bones hurt. I've seen people like that before. And I've seen people confess sins, and it's just like a load's lifted off them. And they're forgiven. God doesn't remember that sin anymore against them. It's placed over here out of the way. They don't have to deal with it. That's what you can have this morning. If you're not a Christian, Jesus Christ will ask you to be, please come and to be willing to repent of sins, to confess that He's the Son of God, to be immersed in water, to have those sins washed and cleansed away, and you'll be right before God.